Good morning, everyone. I'm Lori Dale. I think I'm one of six Loris at this OA convention, so that's how I'll identify myself. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm also the intergroup chair for the Southern British Columbia Interior Intergroup. And I do promise I'm going to talk about our intergroup, but I'm going to take a step back and talk about a comment that our Alice, the chair of Region 1, made at our assembly this week. And what she said was that a strong intergroup depends on individuals with strong recovery. And I wasn't always that person with strong recovery. I do feel today I have a pretty strong recovery, and it's only for today. You know, I don't keep clean on yesterday's shower. But when I was thinking about how did I get from this person who for over 50 years went through that cycle of my disease where I binged and I repented and I dieted and I called myself horrible names, to a person who all of a sudden is saying yes to opportunities beyond the home group level. And when I was thinking about how do I deliver this message, this saying kept coming into my head, and it was to carry the messages, which is the purpose of intergroup, to carry the message, I had to change the messaging in my head. So how does that happen? And honestly, it's only a gift of my higher power. First of all, abstinence, and second of all, willingness. But I'm responsible for the work. So what does that work look like? Well, I need to give a little bit of history about Southern British Columbia. Our intergroup is about 700 miles long and about 400 miles wide. In contrast, we have a total of 13 meetings. I think there are six that are face-to-face, five that are virtual, and two that are hybrid. I come from Nelson, British Columbia. It's a town of 10,000 people nestled in some mountains. At the current time, I am the only known person living in Nelson that goes to the Nelson home group. Our home group meeting has a regular attendance of four, maybe five people by Zoom. I don't see that we're ever going to go back to being in person. So how does somebody who sits by themselves in a church or sits by themselves at the computer desk get a community that helps them grow their program, right? And it was sort of this journey. I mean, that was my first meeting. And I came into program about 5.5 years ago. And I had abstinence for about 16 months. I had a relapse for about 4.5 months. And during that relapse, I had gained 45 pounds in 4.5 months. And I despised myself, and I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. But somebody told me there was a meeting on Skype I could go to. I could do that meeting because I didn't have to show my face. And all I was doing with my face was dumping a shame bucket over it, over and over again, because I didn't like what was happening and I didn't know how to get out of it. But what that meeting did was give me a ray of hope that I belong in this program. And shortly after that, I don't know where these messages come from, but I got this message in my head, and it was old behaviors equal old results. And new behaviors equal new results. And everything in my relapse was all my old habits. So if I wanted things to be different, I had to be different. I had to trust that I had a higher power. I had to trust that I could follow a food plan. I could trust that people in these rooms would allow me to show vulnerability. And so that day I became abstinent, and it's 44 plus months later that I'm still abstinent. And that opened up my mind to allow some of the other willingness to come in. So then I thought, I need more information. I love information. So I had to hear other speakers. So for about a year, I went to a daily meeting and listened to a speaker every night and heard other people's stories that, you know, I really resonated with some I didn't. But what I did find was the message over and over was get a sponsor. And up to then, I'd been pretty resistant to getting a sponsor because, God forbid, they tell me what I should do. But I did get a sponsor, and shortly after I got the sponsor, she asked me to be a speaker. And I remember thinking, I'm going to be the very best speaker you have ever seen. And I am going to write all my notes out so I can read to you what I want to say. And I wrote this thing, and I wrote another draft, and I wrote another draft, and it was just about perfect because I had figured out who to blame for all my problems. And then I went, these people are dead. It doesn't matter. Have I always been perfect? And that promise of I could let go of my past and not regret it came true that day. And I gave a totally different talk, and I guarantee it wasn't perfect. But from there, I started to hear about intergroup, because up to then I'd never heard of it before. And we were really fortunate that we had somebody in our intergroup that had intergroup experience from another community. And she was trying to get these things started. And so a meeting was called, and I thought, I don't know why, but I said, why not? And for the first maybe 4 or 5 months, every time we had a monthly meeting, we didn't have a chair. And somebody would say, anybody want to chair this meeting? Oh, okay, I'll do it. But that's all I do, just chair that meeting. And finally I was asked, do you want to be intergroup chair? And I thought, okay, it's time for that too. So last May I became intergroup chair. So let's move on to intergroup, because for me it was a process to get there, that the message in my head had to move from self-loathing to I can be of service, and I can have a strong recovery, and now it's time to share my recovery with others and get that learning back to me. Because it's a two-way street. We learn from each other. So I want to tell you where we are with our intergroup. So our intergroup is about, it's not quite 2 years old. Maybe we're just starting our second year. We are totally thrilled because all the basic positions are now filled. We usually have 8 to 10 people, maybe 12 at our meeting. We're from all over Southern BC, so it's by Zoom. But we've had some really key things happen. I think the first thing is, you know, creating a bit of a structure that we have an agenda before we go into the meeting. So we try and stay on time. We try and stick to topics. We're under discussion right now that we don't know that an hour is enough once a month to cover all the things we need to cover. So we have to go back to our membership and say, would you consider 90 minutes? I don't know what the answer to that will be. We'll have to work with whatever our group wants. But one of the first things we are able to do with support of Region 1 is buy a Zoom license that we can offer to all those groups, so all the little individual groups don't have to use private accounts and aren't depending on one person showing up, that anybody can open up a meeting. The next thing that we've been able to do is we've actually had two new groups start up, and we were able to donate to them some seed money. So they had a little bit of money to get started and gave them the option of what they wanted to use that money for. We recently had one of those groups come back to us, and they're struggling as a new group. They're paying rent at a church, but they don't have the donations, the Seventh Tradition, coming in the amount that's paying that rent. So we agreed that as an intergroup, our job is to help new groups get started. So we are subsidizing their rent for another 3 months to see if we can get that one off the ground. And I have great hope for that because it's one of the bigger cities in our region. I would say the two most fun things we've done is last December we piggybacked an idea one of our clubs used to do but ran out of the manpower for it, and we did a 12 days of Christmas fellowship. So what we did was for an hour every evening, we had a Zoom meeting where we would read a step, and then it would be open for sharing. And if you had the time, or if you were looking for some fellowship, or you wanted just to have an hour away from all the frantic festive stuff that goes on and the food that belongs with it, this is the place to come. And we're looking forward to doing that again this year. And we also think what this provides is a good opportunity for people to try the co-host and the host and the lead positions in meetings in a non-threatening way. So we want to open up those opportunities for people. We were actually able, with the support of our Kelowna meeting group, to have a retreat last year in June. And it was in the most beautiful setting overlooking the whole Okanagan Lake. And it was in person. It was about 30 people. And we had all of the board come as our speakers. So that is where I actually saw the service level board members give. And I remember thinking in my head, well, they have the same 24 hours in the day that I do. How come they can do so much? And I'm so reluctant that every time an opportunity comes up, the first thing that goes through my head is, but I'm too busy. I thought, I got to change the messaging if I'm going to be the example, if I'm going to offer service. So now I try when I can to say yes as much as possible. The other thing we were actually able to do here, we've got able to do a little bit, we got some money from Region 1. And one of the wonderful things about coming here is, I don't know how many people can appreciate the Canadian perspective on what things cost. But literature will be a really good example. We got two brand new groups, very small numbers. They have no literature. Okay, Intergroup's going to buy them some literature. If we want to buy a 12 by 12, $48 in Canada.
Oh my God.
$48. In the bookstore, $18. And thank you to Annie and the Greater Seattle Intergroup. She had a bunch of free ones. I got 20 books yesterday for $46. Am I in a, Lori and I, are we astute shoppers or what? I mean, come on. You know, those are the kind of things that make a huge difference in a meeting. But that's a lot of money if you're just starting a new meeting and you're not sure this program's for you. We're thrilled about that. We were able, our little small intergroup, we've got two reps here at both assembly and convention. We've come up with a person who's going to go to World Service, and she's got bylaw experience from another group that she used to belong to. I mean, you got to use the strengths of your individuals, and then you got to build the strengths of your individuals, because that's how we get a strong intergroup. You know, so we're excited about that. We participated in the PIPO. And immediately after everybody know about PIPO, the Facebook ads? Well, Region 1 have offered Intergroup free of charge to put Facebook ads targeting their areas for a total of 10 days on Facebook. And so we ran ours in middle of September of this year, and actually the two ads that you see, the big cookie out there and the other stop sign, those are the two ads that we ran, and they ran for 5 days each. And miraculously, that meeting that only had one person showing up that we're subsidizing had three new people at it just after the ads were running. You know, these are the kind of, we got to get the message out. I'm with Annie. You know, one of the things I would like to see myself begin to do is try to go to more intergroup meetings. I don't know that I can do a lot in person. 700 miles, 400 miles, that's a long way. But there's Zoom. There's ways I can find it. And I can use the power of my team to also go to those meetings. I don't have to be the person that does everything. I've got a great team. And we've been talking for a while now about doing a step study. It hasn't quite materialized. We're still trying to work out the logistics of how that would happen. And we definitely have to get some bylaws. You know, right now we have some old bylaws, but they need to be relooked and revisited. So I guess what I would say is I have a lot of hope that an intergroup that disbanded for 3 years and started up again is now looking and getting excited about what we can offer. What we can offer to our home groups and how we can support Region 1. And, you know, if I feel very strongly for myself, for the strength of my recovery, this is a level I need to be operating at. I didn't think that 2 years ago. I do today. And I feel like, you know, every organization has the same set of, every intergroup has the same set of problems. Lots to do and too few people who want to do it. So if we're going to keep this organization strong, because we all say what a blessing it is, and we all say what a miracle is, well, it doesn't get to be those things if we don't stay strong. So I guess that's my message, is I had to step up in order to help the strength of this organization. And I can't do it without my team. I've gone from being, you know, it was all about me, to it's all about we. And, you know, I have to be able to say, how can I help? So I'm going to stop there and just open it up for questions. And Annie and I, you know, you can make them specific, you can make them general. But thank you very much.